Hello and welcome to Lessons from award-winning publisher podcasts from Media Voices. I'm Peter Houston and I'm learning all I can about making successful podcasts from the winners of the Publisher Podcast Awards 2020. This is the 9th episode in the series, and after you give this a listen, you can check out the other 8 episodes on the Media Voices website at voices.media. Before we get started, we'll be accepting entries for this year's Publisher Podcast Awards until November the 27th. Go to publisherpodcastawards.com for more information about entering. This episode, I'm speaking with Arian McNichol, former editor of theweek.co.uk and of the Week Unwrapped podcast, the winner of our 2020 News and Current Affairs category. The Week Unwrapped podcast comes out of The Week magazine. The podcast is similar to The Week in that it's a curated selection of current news stories, but the selection criteria for the podcast is very different. The Week Unwrapped focuses on the biggest unreported stories of the week. And I began by asking Arian why they'd taken this approach to the podcast.
Where the magazine is a statement of everything that has happened in that week that is of concern to the media at large, I suppose that here we're slightly flipping that and going, well, what's the media not talking about quite as much as it should or could be? And what are those stories that kind of haven't made the cut of our magazine, but are still, you know, big stories that we feel are worthy of the same kind of prominence that otherwise might give a news article a front page in other circumstances?
And yet, the Unwrapped podcast is unmistakably from the week.
There's a lot of weekish DNA in how we come at the process. You know, we try to reference publications from across the media in our analysis of whatever the subject at hand is. Every story that we write about starts out with a clip from somewhere else. So we are doing that as well, you know, cherry picking from the media and bringing it back into our own product.
Unlike many of the publisher podcasts I've spoken to, The Week Unwrapped is not hosted by a staffer. Instead, it's hosted by the presenter and podcaster, Ollie Mann. I asked Arian what was the thinking in bringing in a host from outside.
We wanted something that sounded professional. We were big fans of Ollie just personally. You know, we didn't actually know him ourselves, but we thought that he had that right sort of combination of serious-mindedness but still lightheartedness. And I think that we felt that he got what the magazine was all about and was a good mouthpiece for us, but also he had broadcasting skills, and we knew that, particularly in the early days, I think, you know, we've been going for 3 years now and we've all got a bit more comfortable on microphone, but right at the beginning we wanted to sound like we knew what we were doing. And so, yeah, so we brought in both him, and then we also brought in a producer. We work with Rethink Audio, and we wanted it to sound just as professional as we possibly could.
Working with an outside host and producer, I wondered if the workflow for the podcast was more complicated and how the content of each episode was decided.
I do the central coordinating of who's on each week, and we have this rotating panel of team members who come on week to week in a group of three. So we have Ollie plus three panelists. Each panelist then pitches stories into a central channel to discuss, you know, whether, you know, whatever they have in mind. The world is running out of sand, for example, and is this a, which is was one of our stories and a fascinating one too. But yeah, you know, they'll pitch. So the world's running out of sand. It's used in loads of concrete. It turns out that the places that it's dredged from are finite resources. We use more sand than we use oil. It's like, you know, here's how I propose to talk about it. And then that will kind of kick off a discussion in the group, and we'll work out, A, whether it's something that is sufficiently, like, that it meets our twin criteria of, is it underreported sufficiently, and are people not reading about this, and should they be? And then secondarily, is it something of significance that's going to have repercussions down, you know, the years? And also, have we not done it before. You know, we try not to go over the same ground. It's really kind of me and my colleague, Holden Frith, who's the digital director of The Week, and we kind of oversee that process. And Ollie will sometimes chip in with his own ideas, and same with the producers. And then we arrive at what we think is also a balanced show that has a bit of world politics, a bit of culture, you know, a bit of media, things that aren't, so it's not too samey, any single episode, that's got a bit of breadth to it. And then once we've done that, then everyone goes off and does their research, and then we turn up on the day and hopefully a show comes together.
With the stories discussed on Unwrapped being different from those in the magazine, what's the relationship between the publication and the podcast?
There is a fairly loose relationship between the magazine and the podcast. And I think by virtue of the format, almost necessarily so, because we're talking about the stuff that's underreported. So it is slightly different. And that's sort of important to us as well, because we wanted to make a show that would be a useful adjunct to the magazine, so that there was a purpose for why, as a reader, you might want to also listen to the podcast. There are podcasts that are just a reproduction of a feature that's gone into The Guardian or whatever it is. And that can be useful. It can be nice to hear a long form piece read out. But for us, we wanted to have an extra product that would make sense to our readers and give them reason to come to that as well as reading the mag.
That idea of an extra product plays into the cross promotion that has taken place between The Week and The Week Unwrapped.
In the early days, we used the magazine to try to grow our listenership. But I think as we've gone on and the podcast has developed a life of its own, it's sort of flipped in the other direction, and we've been able to start using the podcast as a means of, you know, not just straight up selling magazines, but bringing The Week journalism to audiences that otherwise might not have been familiar with it. So I think that, that there is a happy feedback loop. It is on our mind that, of course, you know, this is a product that's free to listen to, though it does have advertising in it. Not too many ads, we hope. But it does, you know, it's, we do look to push the magazine every now and again and give offers of discounts on, you know, signing up. And so, yeah, so it does work in that direction as well.
Arian mentioned advertising, and I wondered if that had been baked into the podcast from the beginning.
We really had just as much of a focus as we possibly could on making sure that we were creating a worthwhile listener experience, and that really trumped anything else. And bit by bit, I think we've started to introduce, for example, advertising slots. We work with Global and DAX to put, we hope, fairly unobtrusive ads into the show. And then we've also started doing the odd partnership where it's right, where we feel it's not causing any harm to the show, to create, for example, we've had this spin-off edition, which is we call it Business Unwrapped, and it drops into the same feed as the main podcast proper, but it's the same sort of approach to subject matter, still looking for the underreported stories, but just with a businessy financial angle, and in conjunction with a partner. So that's another source of revenue for us.
We've heard other publishers talk about bringing the same rigor to their sponsored episodes as they do to their regular episodes. But I asked Arian, has he seen a difference in listener numbers for the sponsored episodes?
I mean, there is a difference, but it's actually much, much less of a difference than we had originally anticipated. And we kind of thought that it would be, that there would be much less take up from our standard listener for the spin-off show, but actually it's probably about 2/3 of the people who listen to the regular show tune into the spin-off show, maybe even higher.
Maintaining editorial standards in a sponsored episode clearly keeps the listener numbers up. But I wondered if there was a downside commercially.
In a way, I suppose that limits the number of prospective partners who you can work with because, you know, X cola brand might want to do a show all about how great their cola is, and that if that doesn't fit with what you intend for, you know, if you're insistent on maintaining a certain level of editorial integrity, then you're not going to get those cola pounds. I think the fact that we are insistent that the show needs to be worthwhile when we devise one alongside a partner, that means that it ends up being something that isn't insulting to our listenership.
The Week Unwrapped has also entered the live podcasting arena. And Arian has a view that you have to be careful that liveness doesn't damage the podcast.
It's funny that when we do live shows, I think you're in that same space that you are when you are finding advertising partners to work with, where you just need to make sure that the product isn't damaged by its liveness. And there are listeners who inevitably will get in touch and say, actually, I don't think that works. And I think that, you know, but at the same time, we're conscious that actually it's quite nice for some people who tune in to be able to come and say hello and ask questions and talk to us. And so, yeah, we feel a bit of attention there. But again, I think if you can make the show as close to the usual experience, even though you're recording it on stage in front of an audience, then I think it can still work. But it is hard to do because it certainly changes the energy, obviously.
I wrapped up my chat with Arian, asking him, what would his advice be for publishers that were just starting out podcasting?
Well, certainly I would approach that question with great humility because, you know, we don't regard ourselves as experts yet necessarily. But I think that there is a temptation. For someone who's just starting out, I think there's a temptation to want to just do it yourself with your in-house team. And look, if that's where your budgets are at and that's all you've got capacity for, then I think, you know, go for it. Do what you can. But I'd still encourage any publisher to skill their own internal team up as much as they possibly can. Train them on the products, get proper kit, or better yet, if they can, to work with people who really know what they're doing, at least to get you started. And you may find that from there you get the kind of relationship that means that you want to keep going, or you may find that you have the skills quite quickly, or you feel you do, and you can put together the podcast yourself. But I do think that, you know, one of the virtues of podcasting as a medium is that it is very democratic. You know, anyone really can do it. It doesn't take very much to start your own podcast. But I think there's a really small but critical difference between, you know, an okay podcast and a good podcast. And I think it often does come down to those, to production qualities and presentational quality. And I think that stuff really can't be underestimated. From there, I mean, in terms of growing audience, I do think consistency is key, and refining your own show so that it gets as good as it possibly can, but not messing with it too much, and making sure that your audience knows what they're going to get. And then, yeah, look, if you have a lot of money to throw at it, then you can start to throw up billboards and stuff. But if you don't, then I think it does come down to just making the show as good as it can possibly be, and hoping that people talk to each other about it.
Lots to take away from my chat with Arian. My big lessons: you can hold on to your brand values and still flip your publication's proposition. Use your podcast to do something different. If you have the budget, bringing in an outside host can give your podcast a level of professionalism from day one and help your staff get up to speed. Use your publication to promote your podcast, but don't forget that your podcast is a way to bring your journalism to audiences that otherwise might not have been familiar with your work. Start with a worthwhile listener experience, then work on revenue. Bring the same editorial rigour to your sponsored episodes as you do to your regular episodes. You might miss out on certain sponsors, but you will not insult your listeners. And finally, there's a small but critical difference between an okay podcast and a good podcast. Don't underestimate the importance of quality presentation and production. A huge thank you to Arian McNichol for taking the time to speak with me for this episode. Next in this lesson series, I'll be learning from James Edwards of the 16 Shots podcast from WBEZ Chicago and the Chicago Tribune, winner of a local and community podcast category. And remember, entries for the 2021 Publisher Podcast Awards are only open until the end of November. For more information on this year's expanded category lineup and how you can enter, take a look at publisherpodcastawards.com.